Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
All right, welcome back in. We're going to try this again. He's a busy, busy guy. Jason Lockenfora, radio.com sports insider, has a real good feel on the NFL as well, and he joins us now on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. Jason, thank you so much for joining us here in Portland, man. We appreciate the time. I'll start with the conversation we were having just before you, and that's the Kirk Cousins comment, like the whole I'm a 500 quarterback. This is going to be year 8. I just don't believe quarterbacks can really change who they are at that point. Do you disagree? Do you think he can be a better quarterback, or you think this is about who he's going to be?
I mean, I think certainly he could make better decisions in bigger games. If you compare what he's done, against lesser teams, he's picked people apart. I mean, there's a reason he got franchise tagged twice, and there's a reason that the Vikings gave him, what is still an unprecedented contract when you talk about $84 million, fully guaranteed over 3 years, and then he can walk again in his, in his early 30s or mid-30s. That doesn't happen very often. It happened for a reason, in part because of the market, and he was the right guy at the right time. And, Minnesota had all this money to spend and yada, yada, yada. But he has performed. He's got to do it in December and January now, at the level we've seen him do it September, October, and November. He's got to do it against a playoff caliber defense. But boy, they do have a lot of pieces there. And if the defense gets back to the level it was at 2 years ago, and I hate to be making caveats for a guy who, again, I just said record contract, $84 million fully guaranteed. But I think, is he transformational? No. But if they get back to running the football and playing a little bit better defense, will he be able to beat some of these teams he's lost to in the past? I think probably. There's a plethora of weapons. He's second year in that system now. I know they made coordinator changes, but I think they know what he does well. They've kept Kyle Rudolph. Now I think we'll understand that he can't support Cleveland all the time. I think they'll find more multiplicity in that offense. And I actually kind of like the Dolphins this year. I'm sorry, the Vikings this year in that division, and to be a little bit more of a force in the NFC. But that's regular season. Come playoff time, Cousins is going to have to put, his big boy pants on.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned the contract that he got, and that's always a debate with these guys. Russell Wilson, I believe the latest one, getting, somewhere in the range of $35 million, and we're waiting to see what Dak Prescott's going to get, maybe a guy like Jared Goff and Mahomes are after that. How long until you think we see a team, we've always talked about this on the show, like punt on paying a quarterback? It gets to the point where it's like, wait, because I think in the last couple of years it's gone up like $10 million in annual average. Like $45 million, like how long until a team's like, screw that, that guy's not worth it?
Yeah, well, the next guy out for the monster deal is Patrick Mahomes, and I can guarantee you Andy Reid is not going to start that trend with Mr. Mahomes. He'll get his 40 to $42 million a year, whatever that number turns out to be. I think the Jared Goff situation bears monitoring. Sean McVay is a special coach, and they're going to give Sean McVay a contract extension there by the start of next season that I think will be right up there with the highest paid coaches in the league. And let's be real, Jared Goff it was only 1 year, but he looked broken and confused and lost his confidence. And they rebuilt him in a matter of months, making no money. So as much as they've spent at other positions and as much as that coaching staff's going to keep costing them, and remember, McVay was a part of the brain trust that found a Kirk Cousins in the fourth round. He's done some things with different quarterbacks and really elevated their play through the scheme and through the play calling. So that might be one where if Jared Goff has a really nice, but if it's not transformational and looks to be a bit of a product of the system and isn't a guy who they think can carry them in January, and if there are 5 to 6 quarterbacks projected in the first round next year, come the fall or the winter, as we say right now there are, then that might be where the rubber hits the road. And could they trade him and then go draft somebody who they think is relatively plug and play? I don't know that that's outside the realm of possibility.
Yeah. Jason Lockenfora is our guest, CBS Sports, radio.com sports insider, on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. kind of a two-parter in a way. The one team that you've kind of looked at thus far in the offseason and kind of scratched your head and said, man, you guys really could have taken a bigger jump here, and you haven't. And then maybe the team that is out of the playoff picture last year, and that's why we love the NFL, is the unexpected can always happen. But a team in this offseason that you kind of look at didn't make any noise last year, and you think they have a real shot to go maybe get a Lombardi trophy.
Oh, I had a team in mind right up until the Lombardi trophy. Because I like the Jets to take a leap forward. I don't know that they'll sustain it over multiple years.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Adam Gase and the New York media and that those Johnson brothers is going to be for long. But could they win 10 of 16 games this year and be a wild card and a watered down AFC? I think so. In terms of a team coming out of the blue to win a Super Bowl, I think Minnesota, like if everything fell into place there and Zimmer's coaching for his life and he gets that defense back to where it was, as menacing as it was a couple of years ago, and they keep, you know, Everson Griffin and some of these guys on the straight and narrow, I think they could be dangerous. I also think the Carolina Panthers have quietly addressed a lot of need. And, you know, people tend to forget that Cam Newton, when he's right, does some MVP stuff. He's often the most physical guy on the football field from a quarterback position. And I think they've addressed their pass rush and they've addressed their offensive line. And I think they could be a team that makes some real strides. I really like what North Turner was doing with Cam before he got, you know, his shoulder all mangled there. But obviously he's got to stay healthy. You know, teams that I think have missed their window or kind of let things slide, even before all this madness in Houston, I thought that's a team that really needed to take a step forward. And when Howie Roseman stole their lunch money in the draft and went up and got Dillard in front of them, I just had a sense that things were going to spiral, and they have been. And I don't think it's going to end real well there come January for Bill O'Brien and maybe even others in that organization. I just don't know. And like the New York Giants, I just really don't get what's going on there. And I don't know that they necessarily know what their plan is. I don't think they know who they are. And in this league, you don't know who you are. Chances are other people are going to tell you on Sunday, and it's going to show up with a lot of L's next to your name in the standings.
Yeah. I have firmly jumped on the Browns bandwagon over the last 2 years. Love me some Baker Mayfield and what he brings to the table. They're a fun story. They were awesome to watch on Hard Knocks last year. They make some big moves this offseason. Are they going to disappoint this year?
I don't think so. I like the Browns. I think they're the best team on paper in that division. And that's another one where, do I think they're going to keep all those personalities together for 3 years? I don't know. But this year, in the honeymoon phase, like, the guys who just got paid and the guys who just got there, or the guys in the Baker Mayfield who knows he's about 18 months, he can start, you know, at the end of this season, he knows, man, there's only one more year, and I'm the next guy up. I think they're going to make a lot of noise. I think the primetime games will bring out the best in them. I really like what they've done. I mean, I thought them getting Todd Monken to take some of the load off of Freddie Kitchens was massive. Like, Freddie Kitchens, you know, only called plays half the season last year, or whatever it was, you know, 10 games, and rookie head coach and not super experienced. If he had been to try to do all the heavy lifting on offense plus all the macro level stuff, I might have cringed. But I think Todd Monken will be an NFL head coach come January. In the meantime, I think he's going to be great for Kitchens in that offense. There's talent on defense that they need to continue to hone, but I buy them, man. I think, and again, there's not a lot of power teams in the AFC. There's not. So could the Browns mess around and win 11 games and win that division and host a playoff game? I think that's entirely probable.
Yeah. Jason Locken for our guest here, Radio.com Sports Insider, CBS Sports as well. My co-host mentioned the Russell Wilson contract and just the huge amount of money he's going to get now, and there's no questioning how important he is to their team. Doug Baldwin's gone, Chancellor, Sherman, like all of these guys that helped win a Super Bowl along with Russell Wilson are gone now. What is the future in the next 3-4 years? What does that look like for the Seahawks, especially considering, even though he looks young, Pete Carroll, the oldest coach in football? Yeah. What is this future for the Seahawks, in your opinion?
I think Russell Wilson showed you before he got hurt, you know, how he was carrying that team up until the point he really started to break down physically 2 years ago. And then what he did all of that, that was not the greatest roster in the world by any stretch of the imagination. And they still, Russell Wilson tough that you're winning 10 games. Like, I think Russell Wilson is that good that if you have him and anything around him, you're able to field a roster. I think you're in the playoff hunt every year. And once you get in with a player that good, anything's possible. So I think Seattle did what they had to do. I don't think there's any way to tell you walk away from a Russell Wilson or you even entertain a trade Even if it's three number ones, I don't know that those three number ones turn into what Russell Wilson can do. I have long thought he's one of the three or four best on the planet at what he does, and what he does is generate wins in the most important, most important position in all of professional sports. So I think he alone, having him secured through his prime, I think that means you're probably in the hunt every year. And if they hit on, if they hit in the draft on a couple of wide receivers, everybody talks about this kid fell and this kid isn't who, people thought could be at the combine. Well, none of that matters when you get to Sunday. It's about figuring out what they do best and maximize. And I think they'll be able to do that. I think Seattle wins that division. And I think Seattle's a legit Super Bowl contender.
Wow. Yeah, that's a tough division this year, too, especially that way. Seahawks fans would love that. One other quarterback we've debated now for years out here, and he's coming into a really important season for him, is Marcus Mariota. I mean, this is kind of it for him. He's been through a ton of different coordinators in Tennessee, ups and downs, and the argument if he just stays healthy, he'd be this, or people on the other side say, I mean, he just is who he is at this point. Does Marcus Mariota play himself into continuing to be a considered franchise quarterback, or is this the end of the road for him?
I think this is who he is. And the injuries have taken their toll. And it's not just the ones that, it's part of the team. It's just the games he doesn't get through. It's how you have to manage games with him, how much your backup has to come in cold into games for a series or two series or a quarter or, sometimes a half. And then sometimes a week or two after that. I think it just it kind of takes its toll. And I don't really know that they've figured out their offensive identity. He's been through a bunch of coordinators, and that's not on him either. But if they don't pay him before the season starts, and I've heard no overture towards them doing it, then I think Marcus Mariota is in trouble, because then it will be clear that he's no longer, necessarily thought of as the future, and the owner really is taking a shine to him, and she looks at him like a son. But if she's not paying him franchise money and got some people there who are starting to feel the heat a little bit, and they've got this isn't like Blaine Gabbert backing up anymore. Like, I'm not saying Ryan Tannehill is anything super special, but it's going to put more heat on Mariota than they've ever done before. I don't know if that brings out the best in him. And I think at a certain point, the wind might be blowing in the direction of like, hey, we need to win games right now to save our job. Maybe this other guy's a little more reliable than him, or maybe we catch fire with him for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and that keeps us all employed. I mean, that wouldn't shock me if that's the trajectory that team's on.
Yeah, Jason, there's a lot of there was a funny little rumor that went around that was showing a couple pictures and said, is Kyler Murray really 5'6 and not 5'9 because he looks so much shorter than a Marquise Hollywood Brown? And, there's that whole element of how small can a quarterback like him be and succeed. The other thing, too, is we're wondering about their coach. I mean, their coach, you take away the garbage games when they played absolutely nobody in college, and he was well below 500. So there's a lot of people that obviously don't think they can do much down there. What say you with Kyler Murray in Arizona? I don't really know what to quite make of what's going to maybe transpire.
Either. I don't either. I don't know that the offensive line is better or much better than it was a year ago, and it was god awful a year ago. Now, they'll tell you that team and move pockets and all that stuff will help out, but he's also going against bigger, faster, more skilled defenders than anything he's ever seen, in his college career. So I think it's a leap of faith. Look, I thought the Kingsbury thing was crazy, but once you do that, then you might as well go down in a blaze of glory and be all in on his quarterback as well. You might as well double down and quadruple down and whatever, eight times down. I don't know what the verbiage is for that, but you might as well go super big. So I get the Murray pick once you bring in Kingsbury, but that doesn't mean it won't be a colossal flop. I mean, that doesn't mean the last time I remember a team doing something like this was San Francisco, where they went with a Tom Sula, right, who was way over his head, and they fired him after a year, and then they tried the Chip Kelly thing, and you had back-to-back one and done. Like, this is kind of like, they went with the defensive coach last year, Steve Wilkes. They put the staff together for him. He really didn't have much say, and then he's the one and done. And now you take this leap of faith on an offensive guy running a scheme that may not seem conducive to Sunday. He might be smarter than everybody else, and they might be crazy like a fox. Well, they just might be crazy. And if they're just crazy and this kid gets the snot kicked out of them after being the first overall pick, given what the GM did the last previous year and ruining Rosen, the DUI, all that stuff. I mean, if you told me, that they had back-to-back one and dones there, I don't know that it's likely, but it ain't impossible.
Yeah. Would the Oakland Raiders be the best thing to ever happen to Hard Knocks?
It should be. I mean, boy, a lot of combustible personality. A lot of guys with a chip on their shoulder. I mean, it's not just incognito and perfect. It's like both those dudes fighting for their careers, like with, you know, everything on the line. And you've got the move of the team hanging over him. Gruden is such a big personality. Mayock going from a guy in front of the camera, or, you know, a guy who was, you know, on camera talent, to now in front of the camera in a very different way in this GM role. Mark Davis being sort of eclectic and downright odd, frankly, at times as he is. You know, what's going to come out of his mouth? Are they going to follow him to P.F. Chang's for one of his, like, patented lunches? Yeah, there's a lot of fodder there. I don't think NFL films – look, NFL films can make, you know, chicken salad at chicken you-know-what.
Right,
yeah. And in this case, I think they're being fed, like, a plump Cornish game hen, and all they have to do is, you know, not carve it the wrong way. So, yeah, there should be plenty of potential for interesting storylines and some neat footage coming out of there. Yeah.
Did you get your Rutschman jersey yet?
No, but we're making a trip right now. My kids see all the Orioles, my Cleveland affiliates, they're all in the area. And I was blowing up my Goliath. I'm like, please let him start in Delmarva on Sunday. Like, we're going to be in Salisbury. Please, please, please. And he's like, no, we're going to let him do the chicken dinner tour for a while. And so everybody here is just dying. But all the different affiliates are like, they all want him because they expect their crowds to, like, double, basically. You know what I mean? So, like, Frederick, Maryland, and Salisbury, Maryland, all these rural outposts are, like, begging for him. But nobody knows. They're playing it close to their vest as to where they'll assign him and when. But I think it skips short season ball. I mean, I think he starts at high A or low A. But, yeah, we can't wait to see him, man. We are fired up. Something, as an Oriole fan, you don't have a whole lot to look forward to right now. But, yeah, my kids can't wait to see him in person and get to these minor league games and start chronicling his career.
Yeah, he's a special kid. I hope he lives up to the hype, because if he does, it's going to be so worth it and it's going to be so awesome to watch for you guys out there. Jason Lockenfora, radio.com Sports Insider. Jason, thanks so much for the time, man. It was great catching up with you, and we'd love to get you on maybe in July or August when the camps are going.
That would be awesome. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Had a blast.
Absolutely. There we go. Good stuff from Jason Lockenfora on all things National Football League.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.